We're continuing with the Haggadah, and we'll continue going the way we did until now, going in order, and also jumping to the end to learn some of the songs. We'll dedicate our learning tonight to Aliza Bat Paula. Her neshama should have an aliyah, and her learning should be a good merit for her. We discussed Kiddush. We discussed the order, we discussed the concepts of chinuch, we discussed the importance of the Seder being the link that connects the generations. Yeah. And now after we make kiddush and everyone drinks and we discussed heseba, leaning, now that we've done that, so we're up to urchatz. Now Chazal instituted that when we dip a food in liquid, one of the seven liquids, then prior to eating that food we should wash our hands. But there's no blessing on that washing. So urchatz is we wash our hands without a blessing, and that's in preparation for dipping the vegetable. Now, in Chazal's time, the order of the meal was that you'd wash your hands, make a blessing, eat bread. And then after you eat bread, just like we eat salads, they would begin by dipping vegetables into dip. That was a part of the meal. And Chazal instituted that we go out of order. The kid sees that we do Kaddish, we do Kiddush, and then we purposely do things out of order. Instead of going on to the meal, we suddenly take a vegetable. Karpas really is the name of a vegetable. That's what the word karpas means. We take some kind of vegetable, preferably a vegetable that's edible raw. We're not supposed to take potatoes, even though a lot of people do. Or you're not supposed to take onions, even though a lot of people do. Technically, you're supposed to take a green vegetable, like celery, if you have celery that's bug-free, or pepper. Right. Because the idea is you're taking a raw vegetable and you're dipping it. Now, there's nothing wrong if you took a potato and you dipped it, fine. But preferably, if you're controlling the Seder, preferably take a pepper, a cucumber, take some kind of green vegetable that's edible raw, and we dip it in salt water. And the idea was that when the kid sees us suddenly going on to the next course, going on to the dips, he's going to say, wait a second, what's wrong here? We didn't yet eat the bread. We didn't yet make hamotzi. What are we going on to the salads? So the whole idea of the karpas is to get the children to ask, kedeshi shelua tinokot, which goes back to the primary theme of the Agada. And that is to get the kids to be involved. The Agada is focused on the children, and if not the children, then the spectators, the participants. But the whole idea is vihigadita, you will recount. Someone is questioning and you are answering. There is supposed to be a to and fro, a conversation. So the way to get the kid to ask is to do things that are strange. So Chazal instituted that we do something unusual. We go for the vegetable. Yes, there's a gematria that karpa stands for samach perech, that 60,000 Jews were working, 600,000 Jews were working avodas parech. That's very nice. But what it says in the Mishnah, what it says in the Gemara, the reason karpas was instituted was to pique the children's curiosity. What happened that we're suddenly dipping? And we don't usually make salt water on Shabbos or Yom Tov. If we can avoid it, we prepare the salt water before Yom Tov. So we dip, now we're going to eat a vegetable, and we haven't yet made hamotzi. So what blessing do we make on the vegetable? We make a borei pri ha'adama. And it is unclear whether during the meal, when we're going to eat the maror, that deserves its own blessing or not. So preferably we should have in mind that the blessing on the karpas will cover the maror. The only problem is that really more than 72 minutes will pass, right? While we discuss the Agada. If you make a borei pri ha'adama now, and then you sit and study for 2 hours, and then you want to eat another vegetable, you have to make a new blessing. So how does this borei pri ha'adama cover us for the maror that's going to be in the middle of the meal? So I hope wherever you're going to be for the Seder, it's going to take a while till you talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim before you get to the meal. So what you could do is drink water during the Magid. If you want to drink water, I give out coffee during the Magid at my Seder. Now, do you make a blessing on the water or the coffee? So we have a rule that when you make a borei pri ha'gafen, borei pri ha'gafen covers all drinks, provided you had it in mind. So I announce before Kiddush, and I say there, I say, have in mind, we're going to have coffee and Coke and caffeine-filled drinks throughout the Maggid to help everyone stay up. So when you make the Bor Priya Gafen in Kiddush, have in mind it should be not only for the wine, but also for all the drinks you're going to drink throughout the Maggid. And that way, being that we're drinking drinks, that the drinks would technically deserve a Borei Nefashos, right? After you drink water or coffee or juice. So those drinks help us prolong the Borei Pri HaAdamah, because they all fall under the same Bracha Achona. You guys with me? You made a Borei Pri HaAdamah. Now 72 minutes are going to pass. How do you work that out halachically? You drink some water, you drink some coffee. Every 20 minutes, half hour, you drink something to prolong. You don't yet have to make the after blessing. The blessing lasts. Really, you don't make a fore blessing. You don't make a prior blessing to the water or the coffee because you covered it with the wine when you made a Borei Pri HaGafen in Kiddush. You guys with me? Okay. Now, most people don't do that. You come to most Dara and people are sitting there famished. And we say, if you'd make a Borei Pri HaAdamah and eat a nice amount of vegetable, then technically, before you go ahead to eat the matzah before the meal, you have to make a bracha achrona, because you just had a vegetable before the meal. So we say, eat less than a kazayas. Eat less than the volume of an olive, and then you're not obligated to make a bracha achrona. But everyone shows up to the Seder ravenous. And every year I tell the guys, eat less than a kazayas, and every year the guys are sitting there gobbling it down and telling me, yeah, I heard you, Rabbi, I heard you, Rabbi. That's okay. I understand them. Everyone's very hungry. People hardly eat on the eve of Pesach. So worst comes to worst. Those who eat a lot, the gra is of the opinion you should make a you should eat the volume of a kazayas, so they have who to rely on. So that most of the Jewish homes don't do that. Usually you're supposed to eat less than the volume of a kazayas. That's the way we go. We don't go with the gra. But people who are so hungry, so what am I going to tell them? Don't eat. So they rely on the gra, what can I say? Okay.
What's different between kazayit and revi'it?
A revi'it is the volume of an egg and a half. It's the three kazaitim. Tomorrow night, Bezrat Hashem, as part of our model seder, we will go through the volume measurements and we'll measure and we'll actually bring in eggs and measure and see what a revi'it is, what a kazayit is, what everything is. But technically, a revi'it is a volume of three kazaisim. It's a lot more. It's a volume that we use for liquids. But it's more. Okay. What?
If I imagine today's egg, today's zayit, that would be fitting. Like, three kazaisim could be fitting in an egg, right?
Two kazaisim in an egg. We assume that two kazaisim in an egg, yeah.
So,
are you thinking of an egg with the shell or without the shell?
With a little bit of the shell.
It's a lot. You measure it.
So the different question, because I was asking, I ask you if the kazayit were a different size like that. I think today.
Tomorrow, Bezachem. You have to know what a zayit aguli is. When we say kazayit, we're talking about a specific type of olive. The olives you see have are small olives that have been sitting in vinegar. They've become. If you see nice juicy olives, you'll see they're really half an egg. But you know there are three sizes of eggs. So that we'll discuss tomorrow, Bezachem. So now we've done things to pique the child's curiosity. And we're going to do another thing that seems very strange. We're not going to make a motzi. We're not going to start the meal. Instead, we're going to take a matzah and break it. And put away the bigger half. So now, wait a second. What are we eating? Are we not eating? So we break the matzah. That's yachatz. We're going to put away the bigger half for later. And that's the way poor people eat. A poor person never knows how much he's going to have to eat tomorrow. So the Torah tells us that the matzah is lechem oni. Lechem oni has multiple understandings. Either it could mean poor man's bread, so then we eat it the way poor people do. How do poor people eat bread? They don't eat everything today because they don't know if they'll have money to buy bread tomorrow. So they put away a large piece for tomorrow. So we're about to begin the Maggid. We're about to begin recounting the Haggadah. The Torah says that the bread is called lechem oni. Lechem oni could also be understood bread from that we recount over. Lechem she'onim alav dvarim arbe. That you declare many things when in the presence of that bread. So to satisfy both opinions, what we do is, first we break a matzah. And now we have the matzah is now poor man's bread. And then we start recounting all the agada we're going to say over this broken matzah. The broken matzah is before us. And now we could begin the magid, the recounting of the agada. I'm not following what the question is.
Shouldn't you wash hands before breaking?
No.
That's only needed.
Right? Okay. So we take the middle matzah, and there's Bezrat Hashem, either tonight or tomorrow night, we'll discuss why we take the middle matzah. We have three matzahs, we take the middle matzah and break it. And now we show the matzahs, and now we're going to begin the magid. We're going to begin recounting what happened in Mitzrayim. The bigger matzah that we hide is the matzah we will use for the afikoman. That's the last matzah we will eat at night. And according to some opinions, that is the matzah shel mitzvah. That is the matzah with which we will fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on this night. Some opinions say it's the first matzah you eat tonight, and some opinions say it's the last matzah, it's the afikoman. And we want the kids to be involved in what's happening in the Seder. So we tell the kids, you know how precious this matzah is? This matzah is so valuable to me. If someone would steal this matzah from me, I'd pay him anything to get it back. You know, if a kid would take it from me, I'd give him a toy. I'd promise him anything just to get this matzah back. You know how precious this matzah is? This matzah is all of our history is in this matzah. There's so much we're going to discuss about this matzah. I'm going to store it. And then we put it in a special bag. If you don't have a special bag, you put it in a clean pillowcase. That's what I do. I don't have a special bag. So I have a clean pillowcase. I put afikoman in. Now, I've told the kid, and by now the kid has heard from all his friends, that if a kid would take this matzah from me, I would give him so much for it. And now, for the rest of the Seder, there's this game where the kid tries to steal the afikoman and the parent tries to ensure he doesn't. And the kid knows that if he gets it, then he'll be able to ask ransom for the afikoman. The father's going to say, I need that matzah. You know what that matzah means to us? I need it back. What do I have to give you for it? Now, usually, after the kid has stolen the afikoman, we don't make it easy for him to steal right away. And after he's stolen it, he knows he's going to have to do the bargaining at the end of the meal when we need the afikoman. And this is a good way to ensure that he's awake for the end of the meal when we take out the afikoman. So now we have the afikoman ready, and the kids are there geared up to see when they could steal it. And we have the broken matzah, and we can begin. We can begin our magid. That's one of the biblical mitzvot of the night, to recount, to explain to the kids what happened. So we tell the kids, or the people who are at the Seder, Ha lach ma'anya, this poor man's bread. You see, I have a broken piece of matzah here. The achalu avatana ba'arad mitzrayim, that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. The matzah has two concepts within it. On the one hand, it commemorates the time that we were impoverished. It commemorates the time of servitude. On the other hand, the matzah also commemorates the redemption. That we rushed out of Mitzrayim, we didn't have time to make any normal bread. The only thing we had was matzah. So it commemorates two concepts. Right now we tell the kid or the people around, Halach mania, this poor man's bread, the achalu avatana that our forefathers ate, ve'arad Mitzrayim in the land of Egypt, whoever's hungry, come and eat. Right now, look at how rich we are. We have this regal Seder. We have we take out all our precious dishes on the night of the Seder. Ordinarily, a Jew is not supposed to put out all his precious dishes. You're not supposed to put out all of your silverware and your fine china. You're not supposed to, a woman, when she adorns herself, is not supposed to put on every type of jewelry she has. On the night of the Seder, we have a mitzvah to show ourselves as free men. We do. We put out all our nice dishes, and we're saying, look at what God did to us. So we're declaring, Kol dichbin, whoever is hungry, yete, let him come, the yechol and eat. Kol ditzich, whoever requires to join a Seder, yete, let him come, the yivsach, and join our Pesach. Hashata hacha, this year we're here, we're in exile, even though, look here, son, I'm telling you, God took us out and we're free men. So let me tell you, you're right. This year, we're not in a built Israel. We're not in complete redemption. We're still here. But we have the potential to perform mitzvot. There's no decree out there like the Jews had in Egypt that they're going to be stuck for 400 years. If we only perform mitzvot like we're doing now, inviting everyone to join our Seder, then l'shana ba'a ba'arad Yisrael, next year we could be in the land of Israel. Hashata avdei, this year we're still we're slaves, so to speak. We're still under someone else's rule. Neshana ba'a b'nei chorin, next year we should be free men. So we're beginning by telling the child, this is the concept, this is what we're going to discuss now. The matzah, the fact that we were in Egypt, the fact that God took us out, and if you're bothered by the fact that today we're not as free as we're showing ourselves, so you should know we are free and we still have potential to become even more free. Now, I feel like we have to cover ground. If you disagree with me, tell me. Because there's tremendous depth. There's a lot to discuss about the concept of free men. What are we really doing on the night of the Seder, and what is the freedom that we've attained? Meaning, is this all an issue of can I take whatever job I like, or do I have to build pyramids for a pharaoh? Or is there more that we're discussing here at the Seder? So there's obviously more. The freedom we're discussing is a freedom, an intellectual freedom, a religious freedom, a spiritual freedom. It's a freedom that permeates our whole being. It's a freedom that it goes way beyond the jobs we were doing, and the freedom to make our own choices. But my feeling is that we're better off covering ground than going into depth. So I just want to take a vote to make sure that's what you guys want. If you prefer depth, then there's a lot to discuss over here. Mayor, I'll tell you why I think it's important. Most people read that Haggadah and they don't know what they're talking about. They just read. So I do want to cover as much as possible. So that's why I do want to cover ground, and we have a basic understanding. You agree? Relia? What? Okay, yeah? Yeah? Okay. Now, we want to get the kid more interested. So the kid sees we've broken the bread and we haven't eaten. We started talking and we haven't eaten. So now, to pique his curiosity some more, we make believe the meal is over. We pour another cup of wine, and ordinarily the kid knows. You make Kiddush, you start the meal, you make Hamotzi. After Hamotzi, if you want to drink wine during the meal, you drink wine. No one pours a second cup of wine when he just finished Kiddush and he didn't yet start the meal. So we pour a second cup of wine, and then we make believe the meal's over. We tell our wives, here, could you take the matzahs? Everything was delicious. Thank you very much. It was a really delicious meal. Nowadays, people just cover the matzah. The institution of covering the matzah was to get the kid to think the meal is over. If you just cover the matzah, so the kid sees, oh, it says now I've got to cover the matzah, so this is how most people do it. It says here we have to cover the matzah now for the manishtana. Guys, could you just cover the matzah now to begin the manishtana? It's not the way it works. Chazal instituted that at this point we make believe the meal is over. We want the kid to say, wait a second, the meal's not over, I haven't eaten anything yet. So how do you get the kid to do it? So those of you who have attended my Seder, you guys know. What I do is I tell my wife, thank you, everything was delicious, we're going to get ready to bench. Could you take the matzahs? I ask one of the guys, please bring the matzahs to the other room, we're finished. And then my kids start dancing. Wait a second, wait, we haven't eaten anything. Wait, what's going on? That's what we want. Sure. Yeah. Well, they remember from 1 year to the next. They're still 5, 6. They don't remember. Hi, hi, hi. The kids. The guests. The guests jump at me. Forget the kids. So that's what Chazal wanted. And at this point, we're basically finished doing things that are strange to pique the kids' curiosity. We've taken out only matzahs. We've dipped when we haven't started the meal. We're filling another cup of wine. So now we've piqued the kids' curiosity. We set the table with all kinds of interesting dishes like maror and chazeret and the egg. And now the kid is ready to ask his questions. We've done all these strange things. So now the kid begins, and Chazal instituted, this appears in the Mishnah already, the Chazal instituted a framework for the questions. But really, Chazal tells them in their times, if the kids would ask the questions, so they'd say, great question, son. Now let's go, I'll start answering you. And then they'd start telling them the answer. They didn't deem it imperative to say the Manishtana. Today, Chazal already instituted that we have a set Haggadah that we have to say, and that's the minimum. So we say everything. The custom is that even the head of the household says the Manishtana, when realistically the whole Manishtana is the kid is asking the question and the head of the household is supposed to give him an answer. But today we say everything. It became like a prayer. You got to just say everything. But the point is to understand what we're saying. To just read, that's not the point. I mean, if you can't do better, so do that. But get yourself an English Haggadah and understand what you're saying. So the kid asks. Manishtana, what caused that this night is different from all the other nights? Alayla azem kol alilot. Ma means what? So the kid isn't asking you what's different, because he's going to tell you what he's noticed is different. He's asking, what is that integral difference that caused all the following differences that I noticed? Manishtana, what's different about this night that suddenly on this night, shebchol alilot anochlin chametz u'matzah, and any other night, if we come to give thanks to God, so we bring a todah sacrifice, together with the todah sacrifice, we have 30 breads that are chametz, 10 breads that are matzah. I can understand we're here to give thanks to God. We eat chametz and matzah, fine. That doesn't bother me. But alayla azet, tonight I see the table is set kulu matzah, only matzah. We're not going to eat chametz tonight, only matzah. So why? If, remember, this was instituted in the time of the temple where the kids knew you would sometimes bring a sacrifice of thanks together with 30 loaves of chametz bread and 10 loaves of matzah bread.
Yeah.
Correct, but the kid says, I see the table set with matzah. I'm used to seeing chametz and matzah eaten together. I could understand if we'd have chametz and matzah that we're giving thanks to God, it's part of the Torah sacrifice. But tonight I see it's only matzah. What's going on here? Shebechol alilot anu ochlim shal yirakot. Another night.
Why doesn't he, Michal, ask, we did not bring a Torah this morning while we have...
Oh, good question. Okay. It's a good question. I'm not sure the kid was able to get into the Beit HaMikdash when you had all of the Jewish people there. I'm not sure he knew this animal that we have here, the Chagiga and the Korban Pesach, if he knew whether that was a Todo or not. Meaning he couldn't make it in to see what was happening. So that much he wouldn't know. Shebechol alilot anu ochlim shar yirakot, and all other nights we eat all kinds of vegetables. Alayla azet, tonight I see the Seder plate. All that's set on the Seder plate is maror. That's the only vegetable that's left. What is maror? Maror is a species. There are 5 different types of plants that are included in maror. So we customarily use either romaine lettuce or lettuce that we know is bug-free, if we can get bug-free lettuce, or else ground horseradish without vinegar. Ground horseradish. Shebechol alilot enanu matbilin afilu pam echat. All nights, we don't dip even once. Alayla azet, tonight, shtei pamim, I know we're going to dip twice. We already dipped once with the salt water, and I see the next dip, the charoses, is just waiting. Shebechol alilot anu ochlim ben yoshvin ben mesubin. Any other night, we eat either sitting or leaning. Alayla azet kulanu mesubin. Tonight, I noticed everyone's so careful to lean when we drink the wine. What's going on here? So here the kid has asked us 4 questions, and let's do it again with the tune, so that you guys, unless you all know the tune.
Which one?
Right, so let's do that. Ma nishtana ha-layla ze mikol ha-leilot, mikol ha-leilot, shebechol ha-leilot, anu ochlin chametz u-matzah, chametz u-matzah, ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, kulo matzah. Ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, kulo matzah. Shebechol ha-lelot, anu ochlin she'ar yirakot, she'ar yirakot. Ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, ma-ho. Ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, ma-ho. Shebnechol ha-lelot, enanu matvilin, afilo pam echat, afilo pam echat. Ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, shitei pe'amnim. Ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, shitei pe'amnim. Shebechol ha-lelot, anu ochlin, ben yoshvinu, ben mesubin. Ben yoshvinu, ben mesubin. Ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, kulanu mesubin. Ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, kulanu mesubin. So the child asked his questions, or else the people at the table asked the questions. And now we have to start answering the questions. And the answer begins with Avadim Ayinu. So being that we're going to begin the Magid now, we're going to again go back to recounting what happened in Egypt. We said that that has to happen in the presence of the matzah. So now we have to bring the matzah back to the table. And now we begin answering the child. Avadim Ayinu Lefarob Mitzrayim. We were enslaved once upon a time. And here we're going to discuss that the Torah tells us four times about how we are to tell our children about the enslavement in Egypt. And being that the Torah tells us four different times about telling over to our children how we were slaves in Egypt, Chazal tell us that the Torah said it in saying it, the Torah really told us about four different types of children a person might have, and that a person has to know how to speak to each child. And we're going to say that as part of the Haggadah, but we should really bear that in mind as we prepare and as we tell over the Haggadah to the people who are sitting at the table. This is what the Torah had in mind when the Torah told us four times, tell your child, or your child might question, or initiate the conversation with your child, or your child might challenge what you guys up to. In four different ways, the Torah describes this interaction. And the Torah was indicating to us that you have a child that he doesn't even know how to ask. You begin the conversation. You tell him, hey, I got to tell you something. Listen here. Pique his curiosity. You have another child that just asks, what's going on? Hey, I see things are special. You're wearing a white robe, the kittel, I see. The table says, what's going on, the tam? Then you have a child that's wicked. And then you have a child that's smart. And each child has to be answered on his level. So when we begin this Avadim Ayinu, we could begin it and just say, we were once slaves in Egypt. Or you could do it the way I think one should do it when one has small children at the table. You do it the way Chazal said. Do it in a way that speaks to the child. So again, those of you who have been at my house, you know, I get up and I take a pillowcase and I tell the kids, Avadim ayinu leparov Mitzrayim. You know, we were once slaves. There was once a wicked king. There was a place called Mitzrayim. And in that place, they treated us very not nicely. And then I pull my belt off and I show them, I hit something with the belt and I show them, you see that? They used to have leather straps they used to beat us with. Just like that. And they, you know, they when the children are really little, so then I tell them as though the story happened to me. I tell them, you know, when I was back in Egypt, it was many, many years ago before you were born, so then there were these bad people. They used to hit me a lot and they used to beat me and make me work and I couldn't come home at night. And I make a whole story that speaks to their age. The children are a little bit older, so then we speak about the fact that it happened in the past. They understand the concept. Every child at his age, you tell him what's fit for him. And you don't want to scare the kid and make him have nightmares. You tell the kid what's fitting for his age. But what's fitting for his age, we have to say in a way that's fitting for him. So, Avadim Ainu Lefarob Mitzrayim, on the simple level, we were all slaves to Pharaoh back in Egypt. On the deeper level, so we were enslaved not only physically, we were enslaved religiously. We were all serving the idols of Egypt, and we had a wicked king who was exceptionally potent, Pharaoh, and we were in a territory that was well fortified. It was considered the place where no slave ever made it out of there, the place called Mitzrayim. The mere word Mitzrayim comes from the word tsar, affliction. Mitzrayim is the place of affliction. It is Kur HaBarzel. It's that furnace in which you purify metal. That's where God put us. Yeah.
I thought it tsar came from narrow, not from like sarot. That's what I once learned.
I think they're together. Sarawa and tsar, I think, go together, yeah. Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham, and Hashem our God took us out of there. V'yad chazaka, with a strong hand, uvizroa netuya, and an outstretched arm. And these are two separate concepts that need definition. But again, we're not going in depth now, even though you guys are Bochshem on a level where we could, but we got to cover ground.
Do you still read the Haggadah?
Sure, I read the Haggadah, but I also pause and explain it on his level. And if God would not have taken out our forefathers from Egypt, Hareyanu uvanenu uvnevanenu, then we, our children and our grandchildren, would still be Meshua Badim, enslaved, Hayinu, we would be Lefaro b'Mitzrayim, to Pharaoh in Egypt, because we were at a point where had we stayed another day in Egypt, the Jews would have gone so far down spiritually, there would be no one left to take out. Meaning the Jews were at a breaking point. God took us out at the last minute. Had God not intervened at that moment, the Jewish people would have just completely been wiped off the map spiritually. Meaning, we think that blessings is just a question of you should be blessed, great, I got a blessing. It doesn't work that way. Blessings, just like you want to give someone something materially, he has to have a vessel to accept it. A guy comes to your house and asks for a donation. You tell him, sure, here, I got a bottle full of oil. I'll pour you a cup. Come, extend your hand. Don't pour me the oil on my hand. You need a cup, so get a vessel. I'll pour you some oil. By the same token, spiritual blessings also have to have a receptacle to accept the spiritual blessings. The Jewish people had to be fit for the blessings of being the Jewish people. And we were at a point where had we stayed another day, we wouldn't have been fit. Even so, God spent a year doing the plagues in Egypt, and when we reached the ninth plague, 4 out of 5 Jews were unfitting to leave. There was a mass plague, 4 out of 5 Jews died. So even so, where God did take us out of Egypt, figure we numbered about 2 million people when we left Egypt, 600,000 men, figure about the same amount of women, children, everything together, it's probably about 2 million people. That means that 8 million people died a few weeks earlier in this mass plague during the plague of darkness. So God says, if I let them stay another day, the Jewish people won't be able to come out. It's not that God couldn't have taken us out a day later. It's not that we couldn't have revolted and overcome the Egyptians. The Egyptian empire fell at some point. So why do we say, had God not taken us out then, we'd still be there? Because we wouldn't have been fit to come out. We would have just become Egyptians. And then we would have never left. So that's what we're saying here. God took us out in the nick of time spiritually. Ba'afilu kulanu chachamim, and even if we were all wise, kulanu nevonim, we all had deep understandings. Kulanu zikanim, we were all elders. Kulanu yodim et ha-Torah, and we'd all know the Torah. Mitzvah aleinu lesaper b'tziat Mitzrayim, we still have a mitzvah to recount, to tell over, lesaper, to tell us the story of the Exodus from Egypt. And whoever does more, that is praiseworthy. So the more the better. That's why people should prepare. I have a whole sefer at home of midrashim. You could tell your kids the midrashim. We're going to do as much as we can on the Haggadah. But this is where it begins. This isn't where it ends. A person is supposed to say as much as he can. Tonight we have the mitzvah to tell. Now if we think about it, this is pivotal. We've discussed numerous times that Yetzias Mitzrayim is the starting point of Judaism. Meaning, the starting point, you could say, is creation, you could say it's Avraham Avinu, but we still say that Yetzias Mitzrayim is a pivotal point in history, where God came down and said, I run the world, and I'll show you I run the world, and God did miraculous things for a year, and then took us out to the desert, and spent another 40 years doing miracles for us. It's a pivotal time in history.
It's the beginning of identity.
The Jewish identity, yeah. So, Yetzias Mitzrayim is something very, very important. That's what Kiddush, Shabbos, Pesach, Sukkot, Tefillin, if you think about it, a huge percentage of our mitzvot revolve around it, and really the whole Torah revolves around it. If we're talking theologically, as far as our emunah or hashkafa. So, this night is the night in which we give foundation, so to speak, to our tradition. What are we telling our son when we're sitting here tonight? We're telling him, you should know, every year we celebrate tonight, not only because it's the Yom Tov of Pesach, but tonight, right now, is the anniversary. Tonight, such and such years ago, let's do the math, 2448, right? We went out of Mitzrayim 2448, and now we're 5768. So how many years ago was it? 3,320 years ago. So you tell your kid, look, for the last 3,320 years, every year, today, tonight, on the anniversary of tonight, every year we've been doing this. My father did it with me, his father did it with him. The whole Jewish people have been doing this every year for 3,320 years. So that sounds like a big number, right? Oh, well, 3,321, I forgot, we're in 5769. 3,321. 3,321 sounds like a big number, but if you think about it, let's see. We had, I was in yeshiva where there was, we have here in the neighborhood. Why do you need to go back to yeshiva? We have here living in the neighborhood people who saw the Chafetz Chaim. And we see them. So these people saw the Chafetz Chaim, who was born in the beginning of the 19th century. Right? They see us and our children who will Be'ezrat Hashem live into the 22nd century. Right? Our children will hopefully live to the 22nd century. So our children see them who have seen the Chafetz Chaim. So you have this person, this old person who lives here on Rhinus, around the corner from me. I once used to daven next to him, and I asked him, he told me he met the Chafetz Chaim. You had over here Rav Zuckerman, he just passed away 5 years ago. He was a disciple of the Chafetz Chaim. He lived in the community. You have old people around. So these people are connectors. If you figure from the 18th century to the 22nd century, that's 400 years. You can have a connection of those 400 years here in this community. You have people who saw people from the beginning of that century, and you have people living now who will see into the next century. You guys with me?
Yeah.
So in one little community, you can have a connection. Two people connect 400 years. So now, how many connections like that do you need to get to 3,320 years? 400. You figure you need eight connections like that? Eight, let's say 10. That's not such a big gap from now back to Mitzrayim, right? Yeah? You guys with me?
Two people said Chafetz Chaim, you said our children.
I'm saying we have a connection. Our children see these people who saw the Chafetz Chaim. So let's say these people in the Chafetz Chaim, but these. Let's say the Chafetz Chaim was the beginning of the beginning of the 19th century. He lived in the beginning of the 1800s. This person saw him, and this person is still around today. This person, you had here rabbis who learned by him.
Okay,
so this person to the Chafetz Chaim and into, and then a connection to our children see, and they'll Be'ezrat Hashem live to the 22nd century. So you have a connection, call it three people. I'm saying let's say 15 people, let's say 20 people. But that's still not, when you see the number 3,300, sounds like a huge number. When you start thinking about the connections, the people that connect the generations, you realize that's 20 people, that's not so much. I'm saying it could be 10. But let's not take the extremes. Let's not take everyone that has longevity. Let's take the average. You're still holding by 15, 20 people. I'm saying let's go a shorter number. Right? Let's say, okay, I see my grandfather who, Bo Hashem, was around in the... he was around the beginning of the century, right? And I hope to make it to the end of the century. So two people is 200 years. But it could be more because my children see my grandfather too. And Bo Hashem, my grandfather is still with us. I'm saying that the gap is not so big. You don't have to go that far to say two people cover 400 years. Say that two people cover 300 years or 250 years. You're still up to how many people do you have? 20 people? You with me? It's less than 20 people. So we all have a mitzvah. That's the importance of this night. What we're telling the children is this is the anniversary. You go to Yemen, you go to Spain, you go to South America, you go wherever you're going to go. You're going to find Jewish people tonight doing the same exact thing. We're all commemorating the same events. We're all saying the same thing happened. Now that's powerful if you think about it. And that's what we begin the Seder with. We're telling our child, God gave us a mitzvah tonight to say as much as we can. Tonight, we're continuing. Every year we do this. Maaseh, and now we give an example. There was a story by Rabbi Eliezer. It was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania, the Levi and Av Bezdin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Kohen, 10 generations from Ezra. Rabbi Akiva, the Ger. Rabbi Tarfon, Shayum Subin b'Nevan. These great rabbis were all learning. They were all guests of Rabbi Akiva's in Nevan. Vayum Sapin b'Tziat Mitzrayim kol oto alayla. And all night long they were talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. You'd think, what do you guys have to talk about? You studied it. You're the greatest rabbis of the Jewish people. They had all night to talk about it. Ad shebao talmidim amulem, till their students came in, and they were so engrossed in their discussion of what happened when we left Egypt, that their students had to remind them, Raboteinu, our rabbis, Igezman kachman sheshachit, it's time to read the morning Shema. It's time to go for morning prayer. So, that you see, people who knew so much more than us were busy learning their works, Look at how busy they were all night long recounting Yetzias Mitzrayim. Certainly we should take the time to sit and discuss it. Now, if you don't prepare and you haven't yet learned, then you'll have nothing to discuss. Right? Okay, so you have to either prepare or get a good sefer to work with during the night. But to show up and say, okay, now we have a mitzvah to talk about it all night. Yeah, now what? What are we going to say? Okay, so get a good sefer. If you won't have time to prepare in advance, then get a sefer that prepares. We have tons of classes online. Just listen to our classes on Shmos, Ve'era, Bo, Peshalach. We have at least 30 hours worth of classes online about those parshiyot that discuss Mitzrayim. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, yes. Look at the Mishnah. He asked about the Korban Pesach. Today we don't ask about that. Why is that so critical? No, let's leave it. When we learn the Mishnah in Pesachim, we'll discuss it. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, let's pause now and go to the end of the Agadah. We'll try to get in one more song before we continue the Agadah. Yeah? We said we're going to skip back and forth to make sure to try and cover the songs. So we're going to skip to the end of the Agadah. We did the Kilone Kiloya, eh? We'll begin the song of Adihu. I don't think we did that yet, right? I don't think we did that. Okay. You have it? Should be one page from the end. Adir Hu.
44.
Adir Hu, Adir Hu, Yivne Beito Bekarov, Bimhera, Veyamneinu Bekarov, El Benei. El b'nei b'nei v'etcha b'karob b'chur hu yiv. You guys, I don't have it. Let me look in with you. Okay. B'chur hu gadol hu dagul hu yiv neveito b'karob b'mera. Veyamneinu bekarov el b'nei, el b'nei b'nei v'etcha bekarov haduhu v'tikhu zakaihu chasidhu yivne v'etcha bekarov b'mera, b'mera. Veyamneinu bekarov el b'nei, el b'nei b'nei v'etcha bekarov tahor hu, yachid hu, kabir hu, lamud hu, melech hu, naor hu, sagiv hu, izuz hu, Podehu tzadikhu yivne beito bekarov bimhera bimhera beyamneinu bekarov el b'nei b'nei v'etcha bekarov kadosh hu rachum hu shaddai hu takif hu yivne beito bekarov bimhera bimhera beyamenu bekarov el b'nei el b'nei b'nei v'etcha bekarov. So that's the tune, it's pretty simple. Ta 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 And I assume you guys know the tune for Echad Mi Yodeya. Yeah? You guys know it? Okay. And Chad Gadya, you guys know?
Yeah, I can do it.
Really? You know? You know? Mayor, you know it? Chad Gadya? Okay. So we covered the basic songs. Let's turn back to Vehisha Amda. I don't know if we'll get there. What? We'll see. Let's move forward. Amar bi Elazar ben Azariah. So we'll continue where we were holding in the Agada. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, this is a Mishnah. We're quoting a Mishnah now. It's as though I were 70 years old. I've gotten white hairs like an old man already. And there was an argument between me and the rabbis as to whether in the Shema at night, every night, we have to mention the Exodus from Egypt. Achid Rasha ben Zoma, and the rabbis did not concede to me till Ben Zoma proved it. He derived it from the verse Shneval, that the verse says Leman tiskot yom tzidcham eretz mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha, that we have a responsibility. The Paschal offering is so that we remember the Exodus from Egypt throughout the days of our lives. Why does it say kol yimei chayecha, all the days of your life? Yimei chayecha, the days of your life, is a reference to Ayamim, the days. Kol yimei chayecha, all the days of your life, is coming to encompass Halelot, the nights. So when he said that, then the rabbis agreed that at night as well, we must remember the Exodus from Egypt. So again, we're stressing how important this is. The rabbis held that no, the pasuk is indicating that even in the days of the Messiah, it's so important, the Exodus from Egypt, that even then we're going to have to mention the Exodus from Egypt. Even though then we'll have greater redemptions, things will be even bigger. Nonetheless, we will have the responsibility to mention that Exodus. And here again, there's room to discuss at length. We'll have to cover ground. And for this, there's a song. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu Baruch Shenatan Torah Shenatan Torah Le'amo Yisrael Baruch Hu. And this is a Me'ein. This is like a blessing that introduces the Agadah. We have no blessing on the mitzvah of saying the Agadah. Technically, the saying of the Agadah is a mitzvah. So why don't we make a blessing on it like any other mitzvah? So one of the answers that's offered is that this is also learning Torah. And we made a blessing on learning Torah in the morning. So to make a new blessing on the Agadah, it's a mitzvah within the mitzvot of learning Torah.
But it's a special mitzvah.
Oh, so it's a special mitzvah. So here we have some kind of compromise. We say, blessed is the omnipresent. Blessed is He. Blessed is He who gave the Torah. It's like a Birchas HaTorah. That's introducing the Torah learning of the Agada that we're about to do. Keneged arba banim diberat Torah. The Torah, when the Torah recounted the obligation to tell over Yetzias Mitzrayim four times, the Torah was telling us a correspondence to four different sons a person might have. Echad chacham, one is wise. Echad rasha, one is wicked. Notice, they're not opposites. Echad tam, and one is whole. Echad sheino yada lishol, and one doesn't even know how to ask. This could be understood as ages, right? A child begins, he doesn't even know how to ask, he's 3, 4, you gotta begin. Then he reaches the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, he's innocent. Then he reaches the age where he's rebellious, everything he says is wrong. And then hopefully he reaches the stage where he becomes wise. And it could be understood as facets of every human being. And it could be understood simply as different people. It could also be understood as generations. If the father is a rabbi, the son rebels and he goes the opposite extreme. The grandson, he's got nothing to rebel about. He knows nothing about Judaism. He's simple. And the great-grandson, he doesn't even know what Judaism is all about. He's in Oedel Shol. He doesn't even know what questions to ask. And then he comes to Machon Meir and he learns about Judaism and his son becomes a big chacham and the cycle starts from scratch. So there are different understandings as to how we can understand it. Chacham ha'omer, what does the wise son say? Ma ha'idot v'chukim ha'mishpatim sh'atziva Hashem Elokeinu etchem. What are the testimonials? Pesach is all about testimonials, right? All the mitzvot of Yitzias Mitzrayim are testimonials. When we put on tefillin every morning, that's testimonial to Yitzias Mitzrayim. When we keep Shabbos, Shabbos is also an edut. It's a testimonial to the fact that God took us out of Egypt. Then we have chukim, we have statutes. God just said this is how you do it. You can't really understand the reason why. V'amishpatim, and the laws, the monetary laws, asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu, that Hashem our God commanded you. So because he says Hashem our God, he agrees in principle. He just has questions and he's not yet fully on the boat. He's saying, well, God commanded you, but he is saying Hashem our God. So you teach him all the way down to the laws of the Paschal offering. And after the Paschal offering, you don't go out to dessert. The most important thing tonight is to tell him, talk to him, answer his questions. Tonight's the night. If you haven't answered him any other time, at least tonight sit down and talk to him. Don't go off partying with your friends. After the Pesach, what's afikoman? Afikoman literally means take out the dishes and let's go over to the neighbors and have coffee and cake together. Afikomana, take out the dishes. Take out the stuff and let's go over to the neighbors. Yeah. Afikoman was the party they used to usually have after the meal. After the meal, people would get together in one another's houses. They'd drop in by their friends and have some dessert together. So afikoman literally means going out for dessert. The Mishnah says, after the Korban Pesach, you don't leave for dessert. You stay at home. We call that last piece of matzah afikoman. We call it dessert. But really, it's no dessert. It's a piece of bread, right? It's a piece of matzah. We give it the nickname. We call it afikoman. But the halacha, the Mishnah says, after the Paschal offering, you don't go out for dessert. You stay at home. Well, they used to take dishes with them. They take out the dish with the cake. They take out the dish with the coffee. They go over to the neighbor. Okay, maybe.
Maybe not, because people have less money, so I
mean. Okay, stay there.
Some cultures you used to bring your spoon in.
Okay, maybe. Rasha ma'umer. What does the wicked one say? What's all this work you guys doing? It's so tough to be a Jew. You got to clean up the house for Pesach. You got to go out and pay a fortune for matzahs. What is all this stuff you guys are up to? Notice, he never indicated he has a role in it. He says you. He's clearly indicating he wants no part in it. Lachem, what?
Question?
Yeah.
Well, that's the... I'll present my question.
Okay. Lachem velolo. He's clearly said it's to you and not to him. And the second he removes himself from the congregation, that's really going against the essence of being Jewish. Part of being Jewish is that we are part of a greater congregation. And what has he done? He has been kofer, he has covered over. Kofer is like kufra, when you smear something over. Deep down inside he knows what's true. But he's a kofer. What's a kofer? Someone who smears over. He keeps saying, no, 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 it's not that way, it's not that way. He smears. Kofer is someone who denies. But when you deny, that means you know the truth, but you're in denial. So he's in denial of the essence of being Jewish. Part of the essence of being Jewish is to connect with the congregation. Da'apata, and you too, hakeya chinav. Give him some sour taste on his teeth. You take the bite off of what he's saying. Meaning he's come and say, ah, what are you guys all doing? He's telling his brothers, you guys, what are you working so hard? Who cares about Pesach? What do you have to do all this for? So you take the bite off of what he says, ve'molo, and tell him, ba'avuzeh asashem li betzeitim b'mitzrayim. I'll tell you why. Because God did so many good things for me when he took me out of Egypt. What are you telling him? You walked into here and said, what are you guys all up to? So we answer him, oh, you mean to say, he hasn't spoken. He hasn't said, I have nothing to do with it. He said, what are you up to? So what do we answer him? We say, well, I, God took me out of Egypt. And what I'm indicating is, me, not you. If you'd have been there behaving the way you're behaving now, you wouldn't have been taken out. You don't tell him that. Leave it alone, me and not him. If he would have been there, he wouldn't have been redeemed. But he came in and said, what are you doing? It's like a husband tells his wife, what do you want me to get at the store? So his wife says, I don't want you to get anything. But if you want supper tomorrow night, then maybe you want to get some meat for tomorrow's supper. You hear the difference? What do you want us to get? You're not getting it for me. I don't need you to get me supper for tomorrow night if you want supper. So the kid comes in and says, what are you guys up to? What's all this work you guys are doing? So we answer him, well, God took me out of Egypt. And we're indicating to him, hey, buddy, you better stop with this attitude. Hop on the boat. If you'd have been there with this attitude, you wouldn't have gotten out. Tam Naumir, what does the whole son say? Mazot, he's simple. What is this? So you tell him, God took us out of Egypt with a strong hand. It was a house of slaves. It was miraculous. You tell him what happened. And the son, who he doesn't even know how to ask, At ptachlo, you begin the conversation with him. Come to him in a gentle, soft way. Don't be the tough father. Be like the mother, at, in the female sense. Come to him and speak softly and sweetly. Shneimar, the pasuk says, v'igata levincha, you tell your son. You tell him over as a story. You initiate the conversation. V'yomu lemor, and that day tell him the following. Babu zeh Hashem li betzeti mimitzrayim. This is why God did to me when I went out of Egypt. And here you make the story as though it happened to you yourself, because you got to make it live to the kid. Babu zeh Hashem li, God did for me. You tell it over like it happened to yourself. Now, if this is so important that the Torah told us in four different ways how to communicate to our children this concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're supposed to do it every night, we recount it. And then the whole story we're supposed to do tonight, Yachol, one might think, Mirosh Chodesh. So let's get a head start. Let's start from the beginning of the month. We'll tell our kids. Kids, gather around. I'll tell you some stories. Tomorrow I'll tell you some more stories. And we'll build up till Pesach. Talmud Lomar Bayomahu. That's why the Torah says on that day you tell them, the mitzvah of telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is one day a year. So the Torah says on that day, you might think, okay, I'll start in the afternoon. I'm bringing the Paschal offering. I'll start giving them all stories, and we'll do everything from the afternoon. Talmud lomar bavul zeh. That's why the Torah says, you tell them because of this. When can you say this? When can you have hands-on education? When you have the matzah and the maror there. So you point to them. You tell them, you see this matzah? This is the matzah that we ate when we were in Mitzrayim. So the mitzvah is tonight. The mitzvah isn't just to start earlier. No, the mitzvah is when everything's all set up and we're sitting here at the Seder, now you start telling them this is what it's all about. If you think about it, there are tremendous concepts in what we're reading. What? Mitchila, and here we are beginning with one of the themes of the night, and that is Matchil Begnut Umseyem Beshevach. We begin with our embarrassing past, our embarrassing history, and we conclude with all the praise. Look at where God's brought us to. So Chazal taught us that the mitzvah of the night, the mitzvah of recounting, is not just to tell over this is what happened and this is what happened, but rather there is a certain order. We have to take the procession from our shameful past all the way to our beautiful present and future. Now, where does that begin? So one understanding is, it's a machloks in the Gemara. It begins with Avadim Ayinu. We began already when we said we were once slaves. That's our shameful past. That's our shameful history. The other understanding says, no, you got to go even further back. Begin with the fact that we were once upon a time pagans. Before Avraham Avinu, go back to the time Avraham Avinu's father, he was a pagan. Then start from there and show how we began with monotheism, we evolved, and finally we made it to where we are today. So this is, according to the other understanding, this is where we are matchil begnut. This is where we begin with our shameful history. Mitchila, originally, of Avodah Zarah, you avotenu. Our forefathers were pagans. They used to serve idols. V'achshav kirvanu ha-makom la-avodato. And now God has brought us close to His service. Shneimar, as the verse says, V'yom Yoshua al-kol ha'am. When Yoshua brought the people into Israel, He said to them, towards the end of His days, Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So says God, Hashem, the God of Israel, Be'ever ha'na'ar Yoshua avotechem olam. Your forefathers used to live on the other side of the Euphrates. Terach avi Abraham v'avi Nachor. Terach, the father of Avram and Nachor, v'yavdu Elohim acherim, and they served other gods. V'akach tavichem t'Avraham me'ever ha'nahar, and God says, I brought your forefather Abraham from over the Euphrates to here, to the land of Israel, v'alech tov chol eretz Canaan, and I had him travel throughout the land of Canaan, v'albet zaro, and I gave him many children, v'atenu et Yitzchak, I gave him Yitzchak, v'aten li Yitzchak et Yaakov v'et Esav, I gave Yitzchak two children, Yaakov and Esav, and I gave Esav the mountain of Seir to inherit. And Yaakov and his children went down to Mitzrayim. And here, the reason we're recounting all of this is because we're really answering another theological, basic theological question the child might have. We're going back and telling him, once upon a time we were idol worshippers. So the kid says, yeah, that's interesting. Right. So Avram began monotheism, and then God told him to come to the land of Canaan. And then that's really the beginning of the time in Egypt, because God told him, you should know your children are going to be in the land of Egypt for 400 years, and then I'll bring them back and give them the land of Israel. So I understand that we're the chosen people, because God brought us here, but I have a question. Yishmael wasn't Avram's son from his wife. He came from the maid. He's called in the Torah Ben-Ama, the son of the maid. I understand he's different here. I have no questions about them. But But Yitzchak had one wife, Rivka, Rebecca, and from that wife he had two children, Esav and Yaakov. Why are we the chosen ones? Maybe Esav should be the chosen one? So that's why we tell him, no. Notice that the fact that we were in Egypt for 400 years was a fulfillment of that prophecy. God said, your chosen child will be in a land that's not theirs for 400 years. They will be in forced slavery. They will be persecuted. And then I will take them out and bring them to the land of Israel. So our rights to the land of Israel stem from the fact that we suffered in Egypt. God said they will suffer in Egypt and then come here. So that the night of the Seder, this is Machon Meir after all, Eretz Yisrael is part of the Seder as well. Meaning there's a direct connection between the time we spent in Egypt to our rights to the land of Israel. When we're sitting at the Seder and we're saying, you know, we spent 400 years as slaves in Egypt, what we're also saying is, and we have full right to this land. Because God said you will be 400 years enslaved and then you will come here. No one else fulfilled that prophecy. There were many offsprings to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yitzchak. None of them fulfilled that prophecy, only we did.
Yitzchak,
okay, Yitzchak had Esav. Esav had a myriad of offsprings. So we fulfilled that, and that's our right to the land of Israel as well. And that's why Amalek only attacked after we left Egypt. Esav took his grandson Amalek and said to him, listen here, God promised Avram the land of Israel after 400 years of slavery. There's no reason we should suffer the 400 years of slavery. But once that part of the prophecy is over, attack the Jewish people. Once you see them leaving Egypt, you guys have to get together as many armies as you can. You guys go and attack, destroy them. If you can destroy them, then you'll get the land of Israel, because God promised it to Abraham's offsprings. Don't attack till the 400 years are up. But once they come out of Egypt, you know the 400 years are up, then attack. So now in the Agadah, we're also answering that question. Why is it us and not Esav? Because we kept the first part of the prophecy. We spent 400 years in Egypt, so we get the second part of the prophecy. Baruch Shomer Avtachto LeYisrael Baruch Hu. Blessed is the one who kept his promise to the Jewish people. Blessed is he. That's the promise that we're about to recount, the promise of taking us out of Egypt and giving us the land of Israel. Yes, Mayor.
Do we know what today is Esav?
So we quoted in our Megillas Esther class that the Gra says that Esav, the people of Seir, were exiled to Rome. That's why we say Rome is Esav. That's what the Gra wrote. There are Rishonim who don't go with that, but that's what the Gra wrote. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Et Haketz. God calculated the time. La'asot kamo she'amar Avraham Avinu.
What's the three names of
Esav? Esav, what do you mean?
Esav, Seir, Edom.
Yeah. Why now? Let's leave it for now. No. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Et Haketz. God calculated the time. La'asot kamo she'amar Avraham Avinu Bivrit Ben Abtarim. To do as he had said to Avraham, our forefather, at that covenant, the Bris Ben Absarim, Shneimar, as the verse says, Vayomer le'Avraham, God said to Avraham, Yadoa teda, I want you to know, Ki ger yezarcha be'Yisro lahim, your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. Vavadum, and they will work for them. Vinutam, and they will afflict them. Arba'mot shana, all of this being a stranger, plus affliction, plus service, all together will add up to 400 years. Megam tego esho yavodu dan anochi, and I will judge that final nation who they are in servitude to, and then they will leave with great wealth. So God calculated the 400 years. God said, well, I said there will be strangers in a foreign land. What strangers in a foreign land? There will be strangers in the land of Israel. Yitzchak was a stranger in the land of Israel. Yaakov was a stranger in the land of Israel. So from the minute Yitzchak was born, God calculated the 400 years. Really, we were only there 210 years. But God calculated. God said, there will be strangers, plus they will be in servitude, plus they will be enslaved, so everything and afflicted. So everything together came up to 400 years. God did us that favor. We know every prophecy has multiple meanings. When God gives a prophecy, God always gives it with potential interpretations. And God gave the interpretation to the 400 years that was one of the shorter interpretations. It could have been a few years shorter, 30 years shorter. God chose to make it 210. Could have also been 180. because God could have made the prophecy come true from the time of the prophecy. But God didn't. God chose to make it from the time he had a child. Vehi, and this, Shamdala Avotenu Velanu, is what stood by our forefathers and us. What is that? The fact that God promised he will ultimately take us out. Just like he took us out of Egypt, God says, ultimately I'll save you. So what stood by our forefathers and us? The end of the song, V'akadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Mi'adam, that God saves us. Because every generation has its Haman, its Mussolini, its Hitler, its Ahmadinejad. Every generation has the people who want to wipe us out. So what stood by us? Why are we still around? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Mi'adam, God saves us from their hand. And here there's a very, very nice song. And just like we honor many songs with raising the glass, we raise the cup of wine in honor of benching, we raise the cup of wine over here also, we raise it in honor of Kiddush. Now in honor of this song, we also raise the cup of wine and we sing the following. Vehi she'amda, vehi she'amda, lavoteinu velanu. Vehi she'amda, vehi she'amda, lavoteinu velanu. She'lo echad bilvad, amad aleinu lechaloteinu. Shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu lechaloteinu ela shebechol dovado omedim aleinu lechaloteinu ela shebechol dovado omedim aleinu lechaloteinu vehakadosh baruch hu Matzileinu miyadam, ve'akadosh baruch hu, matzileinu miyadam. And then we put down the cup of wine. Now, being that we were honoring the cup of wine to raise that wine in honor of the song, so we cover the matzos. Now that we put down the cup of wine and we're going to continue the recounting of the Haggadah, we uncover the matzos and we continue with the recounting of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is where we'll have to pick up tomorrow.